The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 3, text number 20. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on April 19th, 2016, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Karmana eva hi saṃsiddhim astita janaka adaya loka saṃgraham eva api sampashyan kartum arhasi. Karmana, karmanaiva hi saṃsiddhim astita janakādaya loka saṃgraham evapi sampashyan kartum arhasi. Karmanaiva hi saṃsiddhim astita janakādaya loka saṃgraham evapi sampashyan kartum arhasi. Karmana, by work, eva, even, he, certainly, saṃsiddhim, in perfection, astita, situated, janaka adaya, Janaka and other kings, loka saṃgraham, the people in general, eva api, also sampashyan, considering, kartum, to act, arhasi, you deserve. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Kings such as Janaka attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. Purport. Kings like Janaka were all self-realized souls, consequently, they had no obligation to perform the prescribed duties in the Vedas. Nonetheless, they performed all prescribed activities just to set examples for the people in general. Janaka was the father of Sita and father-in-law of Lord Sri Ram. Being a great devotee of the Lord, he was transcendentally situated, but because he was the king of Mithila, a subdivision of Bihar province in India, he had to teach his subjects how to perform prescribed duties. Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal friend, had no need to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but they fought to teach people in general that violence is also necessary in a situation where good arguments fail. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, every effort was made to avoid the war, even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the other party was determined to fight. So for such a right cause, there is a necessity for fighting. Although one who is situated in Krishna consciousness may not have any interest in the world, he still works to teach people how to live and how to act. experienced persons in Krishna consciousness to act in such a way that others will follow. And this is explained in the following verse. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Dam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, here in this verse, it is emphasized that one should perform one's duty. In fact, performance of duty is so powerful, it's so amazing that by performing duty, one can achieve perfection. That's pretty amazing. Just by doing your duty, you can attain perfection. You see, we are interested in achieving perfection. This is the whole point of our Krishna consciousness movement. We want to become perfect. At the present moment, we are very much imperfect. We are covered by miscontamination, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. We are covered by so many contaminations. So perfection means anartanivritti, to become cleared off or cleared out of all these contaminations. So the original pure state, so that the original pure state of love of God, which is sitting within the heart right now, can become manifest. In other words, Krishna consciousness is not some kind of artificial imposition on the mind. Krishna consciousness is the awakening of the original natural energy of the living entity. So all we're really saying is, be who you are. Be who you are. In this material world, we are trying to be who we are not. Or, more accurately, we're trying to be what we are not. We're trying to be these bodies. It's a hopeless endeavor. That's how we were trained. When we came out of the womb, we were born, and the parents said, oh, look, it's a boy, it's a girl. And they said, now you be a good little boy, you be a good little girl. You see? You're being taught to be your body. But can you be your body? I said, Prabhu, now I want you to be a very good kurta today. You must be a good kurta. Or you must be a very good sari. Can you do that? Can you be a very nice kurta? Or how about a nice chadar? You should be a nice chadar today. It's not possible. So it's a natural frustration to be in this material consciousness. Because one is trained to try to be what you're not. That is our imperfection. It is called false ego. We have ego means identity. We have a misconception as to who we actually are. And we try to live in terms of that false ego. It's a hopeless case. You cannot do that. So perfection means to clear off these anarthas and come back to your original pure state. And just by executing prescribed duties, you can do that. So what are the prescribed duties? What is the vow we take at initiation? Those are our basic prescribed duties. Chant at least 16 rounds every day of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Japa Mala Bhim. And Prabhupada never said on clicker. In his, he says chant round the beads in his purport. He doesn't say chant on the clicker. Chant round the beads, Prabhupada gives us the order. Chant round the beads. And avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. So is that sufficient? Well, yes and no. Because Prabhupada also said we have to chant without offense. Now that separates the neophytes from the advanced devotees. We have to master the art of how to chant without offense. That's how we become perfect. We all know the 10 offenses. So we have to see that I'm not committing these offenses, that I'm always being respectful to Vaishnavas. I'm fully obedient to my spiritual master. I'm having full faith in the name. I don't think Krishna is just another one of the gods, or he's some imaginary character out of the Vedic Hindu myths. As some people say. So this faith in the name, this obedience to the spiritual master, this respect for Vaishnavas, this we have to cultivate. And that's how we really become perfect. You execute the basic items, chant your japa, follow the principles, and then very diligently work to clear off the nama-parads. Because when the nama-aparadhas are cleared off, then you can directly meet Krishna himself face to face, eye to eye. Prabhupada told me, he said, you will simply chant with full sincerity, you will serve, actually, he said, with full sincerity of attitude, 24 hours a day, Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. So we have to develop that pure mood, because Krishna is not attracted by any amount of flattery or money. He's attracted by one thing only, not by big buildings. You see, Krishna is attracted by pure love. That's it. It's the only thing that attracts him is pure love, pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti. So you want to attract Krishna, and you must develop pure love for Krishna. Prabhupada explains that if you're actually executing devotional service, then you must be happy. If you're not happy, it means you're not actually engaging in devotional service. You can say, what do you mean? I'm chanting my japa, I'm following regulated principles, but I'm not feeling very happy. That means in name only, you see. not really in the mood of devotion. Or another way of looking at it is this. Prabhupada explains how when you eat, you become automatically nourished and satisfied. Your hunger goes away. What if somebody is eating, and their hunger doesn't go away? What does that mean? It means they have worms. You see, the worms are eating. So in the simile, Prabhupada, if you're doing devotional service but you're not satisfied, then that means there's some worms. That means the aparads. These aparads, they are worms. They eat away at the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So don't allow the worms of namaparad to remain in your heart, in your activities, in your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds. Clear out all the worms, and then when you chant Hare Krishna, your heart will explode in ecstasy. You will feel the greatest happiness. As Narottam says, Gorongo bolite habe Pulaka Shari Hari Hari Bolite Nayani Baveni. When will that opportune moment come to me? And when chanting Gauranga, I will feel shivering in my body. And by chanting Hari Hari or Hari Krishna, the tears will come flowing from my eyes. You see? These symptoms are there in the advanced devotees. They chant Hare Krishna and they cry in ecstasy. Their bodies shiver just by chanting Gauranga. So for us neophytes, something to hanker for. We're not there yet. We're just trying to stay awake while we chant our rounds, you see. I'm just trying to stop thinking about other things like when is prasadam or when can I get this round finished so I can go do something else. You see, we don't know how to really dive into the names. This we have to learn. How? Because this is Krishna himself. Krishna himself personally is coming to bless you with his Sangha. You see, but we're not so interested. We have other interests for material sense gratification of varying degrees, subtle and gross. So how to get from this contaminated neophyte consciousness to the pure state of love of God? Again, we come back to the verse, by executing one's duties. So whatever duties you are given, you execute them very faithfully. Your spiritual master gives you duties. He places you he tells you to serve your local temple authorities. So you dutifully carry out. Just like Prabhupada told me, he said, you should do whatever your temple authorities say. So by serving my temple authority, I'm serving Srila Prabhupada, because he ordered me to follow my temple authority. So in this way, if you're married, you have to work very nicely with your spouse, very cooperatively. Not in a fighting mood, but in a very cooperative mood. You see. With the other devotees, one should learn how to be very, very cooperative, very loving dealings. This society, ISKCON movement, it is a very good opportunity to associate with so many devotees from all over the world. So we have to learn how to deal with these devotees in a very sweet and wonderful way. And loving mood, not impersonal, rough mood. A very sweet and loving mood with the Vaishnavas. Because the more we can actually have this loving dealing with Vaishnavas, the more Krishna will become manifest to us. This is confirmed in the Adi Purana. Krishna says, Ye me bhakta jana parato, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be devotee of Krishna? You want to be devotee of Krishna? Then you must become devotee of the devotee. Therefore you accept a guru, and therefore you serve the Vaishnavas, you see. In this way you become devotee of the devotees. In this way your life becomes perfect. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. I'm a little hard of hearing, so I'm going to have her. I'm going to catch up with her. But
my wife.
Talking about astrology.
No, not astrology. Yeah. This is hand.
Yes.
Palms.
Palmistry.
Okay. Palms.
Palm reading.
Yeah.
So somebody said to him, not yet, I wrote it here, and the wife will get married in that karma or something like that.
No, but basically, it was just predicting some bad karma. And so, but my point is that actually happened. I mean, I got through it, but it actually happened. So I was just thinking, what is the, why was it predestined to happen? If you're
the thing is that the laws of karma are going on. There are different arts of reading the future, which are based on the laws of karma, actually, like astrology, palmistry. These are bona fide arts from the Vedas. So there are, according to, there is a material destiny. For one who is under the influence of the modes of nature, there is a irreversible destiny that you're carried along just like on a conveyor belt in a factory. You have no choice, you're just being carried along by karma chakra. However, for a Vaishnava, he has the opportunity to opt out of that. Just like your future is in your palm, that's a fact, but as soon as you clap your hand one time in kirtan, your palm has now changed. So, the devotee, according to his karma, even Prabhupada explained, he was meant to die at a certain time, but Krishna gave him an extension for his mission. So, devotee is no longer under the... The more you become surrendered to Krishna, the less you are under the influence of karma. So even if your chart or your palm says you're supposed to have this or that happen, if you're a devotee of Krishna, now you're under the influence... You're coming under the influence of the spiritual energy, not the material energy. Your palm, astrology, etc., these are simply describing the material energy, the material nature. But by surrendering to Krishna, you can change all of that. Prabhupada explains in this connection how man is the architect of his own destiny. He's not bound by the palm or bound by the stars if he comes to Krishna consciousness. then he's under the direct arrangement of Krishna. Krishna can change your destiny immediately. He can pull you out of your body earlier than you were destined to die if there was, he has a mission for you in some other world to serve him there. Or he can have you stay here longer. You know what it says in the Sri Upanishad? It says that by engaging in this process, one can aspire to live for hundreds of years. So, we don't worry about destiny. Krishna, here I am, do whatever you want to with me. Prabhupada prayed like that. He said, I'm just a puppet, and you pull the strings and make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. My dear Krishna, if you want me to die right now, I'm ready. You can take me out of my body immediately. Take me, I can take me right now. If you want me to stay here for 100 years for preaching, I'm willing. Devotee is detached. He has only one attachment, that is to Krishna. I can serve Krishna in this world, I can serve Krishna in another world, it doesn't matter. I can serve him on the moon planet, the sun planet, on Mars, on Brahmaloka, in Krishna Loka, it doesn't matter. I can serve Krishna anywhere. Wherever he wants me to go, whatever he wants me to do. In this way, a devotee is not worried about his palm or astrology. I never bother to consult with astrologers because I know what Krishna is going to do with me, what he wants to do with me, and he's welcome to do that. I'm prepared to do whatever he wants me to do. Okay, and now we have some questions coming in. We feel sometimes happiness in sadhana, bhakti, but not all, at all. Please tell me what is the way we can get always happiness in devotional service. And what is the meaning of mechanical chanting? Mechanical chanting means when you're not tasting the bliss. And non-mechanical chanting, or chanting with feeling, means when you are tasting the bliss. So you have to learn how to chant with feeling, not mechanically. And then you will, that's the art of how to always taste the bliss. How Srila Prabhupada's disciples left ISKCON, they are artificially doing service. Anybody who left ISKCON was definitely not in the right mood. Because Srila Prabhupada said, if you leave ISKCON, you leave me. Any devotee who leaves ISKCON, they say, well, you know, the GBC, or the, my temple president, or this or that, they mistreated me. You know what Prabhupada said? He said that if you're not satisfied, if you're not happy, it is not due to the external situation. It is due to your own lack of Krishna consciousness. So, the fact is that Krishna is putting every one of us in ideal circumstances according to our own natures, for awakening our Krishna consciousness at every minute. At every minute, Gargamuni Prabhu Ki Jai, my beloved senior godbrother from 26 Second Avenue, one of the early, early heroes of our movement. I'm honored to have his darshan today. Wow, what mercy. So, we were just explaining that if we're not feeling happy in Krishna consciousness, don't try to blame it on someone else, you see. Take the responsibility for your own lack of Krishna consciousness. And that's how you master it. If you say, well, it's somebody else's fault, you're never going to master the art if you blame your lack of Krishna consciousness on somebody else. Why don't you take the responsibility? You see, it's my own contamination. When we take the responsibility on ourselves, then we're on the pathway to actually awakening pure love of God within our hearts. So any other questions? Being written down here. Krishna consciousness is not difficult, but we make it difficult. That's the difficulty. By our conniving natures, we complicate the whole process. It's a very, very simple thing. Krishna is God, I'm His eternal servant. Simply surrender to Him, that's all. But we find so many things to get in the way of that process. This is the difficulty. We have to learn just how to become completely, totally surrendered to Krishna. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada has showed us perfectly by his example. He was completely surrendered to Krishna, even in great difficulty. In that last year, his health was so deteriorated. But he never lost his enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. He never lost his concern for the devotees. He was laying in the bed in the other room. He could not even eat. But he was asking if the devotees were getting proper prasadam. Just see how selfless was Srila Prabhupada. He was always concerned that the devotees were properly situated, happily situated, with proper prasadam, proper service, proper consciousness. And he was in such difficulty, but he was simply selflessly absorbed in taking care of his beloved disciples. So we have to learn from this selfless mood of Srila Prabhupada how to always think of the welfare of others, how to always think of the happiness of others. I'm only thinking of my own happiness, you see. I will be sometimes kind of happy, and sometimes not very happy. But when I fully absorb myself in thinking, how can I make others happy? I'm always thinking, how can I make Prabhupada happy? How I can make the devotees happy? You see? If I'm always thinking in that way, then my happiness is always there. So just learn this art of selflessness. This is Krishna consciousness. Selflessness. And that selflessness, always thinking of the other's happiness, that is also my selfishness. You see? As Prabhupada explains, it is my highest self-interest to become Krishna conscious. So that is transcendental selfishness. You see? Transcendental selfishness. Question? I'll have my wife repeat it because I'm kind of deaf, but she can hear you. That's right. We make it difficult. Yeah. We don't have, we're not sufficiently determined. We lack determination. Therefore, we have a special sixth guru who teaches us how to be determined. That's the little sparrow. We read in Bhagavad Gita about the little sparrow, you see. That mean, nasty, ugly ocean stole away the eggs of that little sparrow. But she's so determined. You give me my eggs back? No way. All right, I will dry you up. She's going on one drop at a time. Everybody's laughing. Oh, that stupid little bird. She's running her delta death, going down for one drop, depositing on the land, back and forth. But she was determined. Even she was so determined to dry up that ocean, you see. But then, when Garuda, her big brother, saw the situation, he immediately came there. He came swooping in on Garuda Airlines, and he ordered that ocean, you better give back those eggs or I'll dry you up immediately by the mystic power, you see. So we'll always remember that little sparrow. It may seem impossible, you see, that I can get rid of this lust, this anger, this greed, all this contamination in my heart, but I'm going to keep trying like that little sparrow to dry up all this contamination. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And then Lord Chaitanya will give you special mercy. Prabhupada will give you special mercy. The devotees, you'll be surprised how Krishna will arrange for the devotees to give you special mercy. All kinds of amazing things can happen. Some devotee can give you some Mahaprasadam from Jagannath Puri, or you know, some unbelievable nectarian things happen to you, very much encourage you. something you hear in a class or something that some devotee says or does, you see, some act of kindness from a Vaishnava, Krishna will give you something to help you. So just be determined. It seems as if it's possible. I have this ocean of anarthas. How can I possibly do it? But just be that little sparrow. Always, you know, one drop at a time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And then lo and behold, that day will come. We say, wow, this is actually easy. What was the difficulty? Why was I so stupid? I was doing it wrong. I was trying to please myself instead of pleasing Krishna. How foolish I was. You see? So now we have a question. A very good point, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Now we have a question coming in here. You said that if a person is not happy in devotional service, what would be the cause of an improper motive? How to change the improper motive? Prabhupada explains, it's a nice lecture he gave in Los Angeles. He was saying that if you're not happy, your devotional service is in name only. You're not really in the mood of devotional service. So what could that mean? Well, maybe I'm doing it for the reputation. I want to make a show of being a devotee, you see, in the community of devotees. There could be various things. But we really have to just try to understand, what does it mean to be a devotee? We can study the Shikshastakam prayers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He makes it so clear what it means to be a devotee. Study that mood. Study Prabhupada's arrival prayer when he came to the U.S., you see. This is how we can understand what it means to a devotee. You can see, well, what is the difference between my mood and the mood of Lord Chaitanya? A huge gulf of difference. What is that difference between my mood and the mood of Prabhupada? It's a humongous gulf of difference. You see. So we have to try to develop that mood that we see from Srila Prabhupada, that mood we see from Lord Chaitanya, that mood we can pick up from devotees around us who are very wonderfully serving this mission. We have to learn to pick up on these things and see the wonderful service that other devotees are doing. We can learn so much just by seeing the other devotees, how they're serving so nicely. So many years, you see, going on, following the order of Guru and Krishna. That's a great inspiration for us, you see. Just like I'm really looking forward to Shama Sundar's book, his 3-book set coming out. I can't wait to get my hands on it, you see. To see about their early days, how the devotees... I love hearing Garga Muni's stories also, the early days of 26 Second Avenue. How the devotees, there was no big movement then, it was just Swamiji in a little storefront, you see. But there, Prabhupada's pure mood of loving devotion captured them, you see. There was no big movement, you see, just some little dinky storefront. It's so small, you go there and you go, wow, our movement began in that thin little storefront, a little bathroom, you see. But it was... the qualities of Srila Prabhupada, that the amazing love of Srila Prabhupada for the devotees, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, you see. So we can, by seeing this mood of Srila Prabhupada, hearing about him from those who had his association, we can get some idea. What does it really mean to be a devotee? What does it really mean to be a devotee? If we try to develop that mood, and you know what really helps is praying. My dear Krishna, I want to be your pure devotee, but now I'm so full of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, and fear. My dear Lord, I'm really a basket case. I'm a disaster area. I'm so polluted. I don't even deserve to be in this movement. But my dear Lord, please be kind upon me. Help me get out of this dirt in my get this dirt out of my heart and become fully absorbed in my every thought, my every word, and my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances will be fully and purely pleasing to you. You see? If we beg like this, you think Krishna will ignore him? Krishna will not ignore him. That's what he's wanting to hear. Everybody's praying to God, forgive me this, give me that. Prabhupada told us in Atlanta, he said, the householder is praying, my dear Lord, please protect my house, that it will not become robbed. And the thief is praying, my dear Lord, please bless me, I can successfully rob this house. And the Prabhupada said, Krishna has to satisfy both. He said, therefore he is perplexed. You see, this kind of praying, you see. No. Don't waste your time praying for, you know, I need this, I need that. Give me a wife, give me a husband. You know, don't waste your time. Just pray for pure devotional service. And what does Krishna say? Ananyaschinte yantomam yejana prayapasate tesham nichabhyuktanam yogachemam vaham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada elaborated on this verse. He said, this Krishna is saying that I will personally deliver to your door whatever you need. So just put your full faith in Krishna, that my dear Lord, from now on, I'm just your property. You do whatever you want to with me. Make me your puppet. Make me dance. And Krishna will do miracles. You'll be amazed to see what happens. When you take up that mood, you'll be amazed to see how the whole world becomes changed right before your very eyes. You see? Such a devotee will actually begin to experience Krishna everywhere. And this is described in the Bhagavatam. Bhakti pareshanu bhavavaraktir anyatta chai shatraka eka kallaha prapadyamanashyatashnanashushtushtipushasharyavonagasam. Devotion to this, loving feelings for the Supreme Lord, direct experience of the Lord everywhere, and detachment from all kinds of material things occurs simultaneously for one who sincerely absorbed himself in the devotional service of the Lord, just as nourishment, satisfaction of the tongue, and eradication of hunger occur increasingly with each bite for one who is engaged in the activity known as eating. Well, we all eat, don't we? So we know what it means to have satisfaction of the tongue, nourishment, and eradication of hunger. So the same thing applies for one who takes up devotional service. Same thing. Bhagavatam compares it. So just learn how, just like we relish prasadam, learn how to relish Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then magic will happen. Your whole life will be transformed. So I thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.